for Parshas Bereishis, the first parsha in the Torah. In fact, it's very interesting that the poskim, when they codify halacha, they call this Shabbos Shabbos Bereishis. In other words, the parsha defines the name of the Shabbos, and it says in the poskim Shabbos li achar achag, the Shabbos that comes first after Sukkot, nikra Shabbos Bereishis. We call it Shabbos Bereishis. We don't find anywhere in the codes that another parsha, for example, Noach, we don't say Shabbos Noach. This is not called Shabbos Noach, right? But we have Shabbos Bereishis. What is the meaning of Shabbos Bereishis? Keep in mind that this week's parsha, the first parsha in the Torah, combines two things. Number one, the story of creation. Number two, Shabbos. The entire section at the beginning of this parsha about Shabbos is not coincidentally located together with the story of creation. So there's something here about this parsha and its relationship to Shabbos, and it expresses itself in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch went out of his way to place Shabbos in this parsha, and in the fact that the poskim, when they call this Shabbos by name, they call it Shabbos Bereishis. That's what it's called. We could say that the reason why it's called Shabbos Bereishis is because we don't have a more profound and precise introduction to Shabbos in any other parasha in the Torah than we find in this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, in the second chapter of Bereishis, it says, "Vayivarech Elokim es Yom HaShvi'i," God blessed the seventh day, "Vayikadesh Oso," and He sanctified it, "Ki bo shavas mikol malachto asher bara Elokim lasos." So the entire story of the blessed day of Shabbos and its sanctity is here in this week's parasha. So it makes sense that we call it Shabbos Bereishis. However, we want to go beyond this. And this is based on the Shinova. The Shinova wrote a book called the Divrei Yechezkel. And in that book he writes that Ha'inyon Hu, the reason for Shabbos Bereishis with that name, is because the Biyoma Noroim HaKadoshim, on the awesome holy days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, Kol Adam, every person, Hayalo Az Hiru Tshuva, every Jew was aroused to do tshuva, different levels, but Kibel Atzmo, he accepted upon himself in the new year to do better than he did last year, Ezon Hagatova. Therefore, Nikreis Shabbos Bereishis. What does it mean, Shabbos Bereishis? The Torah reminds man that what took place in the past, that's in the past. But now, we're starting a new creation, a new slate. He calls it Seder Chadash. And in the context of this new slate, a person should try very much to do good, forget about the past, and improve himself for the year to come. So the idea of Bereishis means a brand new start. This Shabbos is a brand new start. So whatever levels we achieved during Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, all this spiritual elevation and inspiration should now be implemented into the world of action. We should now take action, and we're embarking upon a brand new year. That's called Shabbos Bereishis, a new start. And remember that now we begin a new year, and we should try to do better than we did last year. Now, you might say, even though it says in Halacha that this Shabbos is called Shabbos Bereishis, that's not really Halacha. That doesn't tell me any legal regulations or instructions, dinim, that apply to this Shabbos. In fact, calling it Shabbos Brachos is nothing more than a minhag, you know, it's just a custom. But yet, the Rambam, Rav Moshe Issel, 500 years ago, writes that minhagam shel Yisrael Torahi, that a custom in Israel has the same status as Torah. The Magen Avraham also writes, minhag Yisrael Torahu. So these are the great poskim that codify the law, and they upgrade the status of a custom to that of a minhag, a custom to that of Torah. And when it comes to Torah, we have a rule, shivin panim la Torah. You can look at Torah in 70 different ways. There's so many different perspectives on the Torah. What we want to do tonight is present a brand new perspective on this minhag, on this custom of calling the first Shabbos Shabbos Brachos. And perhaps the emphasis here is not on creation, but on the story that immediately follows creation. Do you remember which story actually comes right after the story of creation?
Well, yes.
And what's that about?
About the temptation.
Correct, the Eitz Hadas. And Adam v'Chava fall. They do not succeed in fulfilling the divine will, and they sin. They eat from the Eitz Hadas. As a result, God expels them from Gan Eden.
He didn't want to eat the
meat
of the tree.
Of knowledge. Now, in truth, according to strict din means justice, law, they really should have died. Because if you remember, God warns them,
whoever eats from the tree will die.
But God had compassion on them.
But they died. This is what
I mean to say, they didn't die immediately. They will die. But they were allowed to live.
Slowly dying.
Correct. And Adam lived another 70 years. I'm sorry. Adam lived another 930 years. Why? How? What merit did they have? Who was the great Sanegar, the defense attorney, on behalf of man to arouse divine compassion such that God staved off the punishment of death? So there's an unbelievable medrash that says that what saved man after the chait of the Eitz Hadas was none other than the Shabbos itself. Mm-hmm. Now, by way of introduction, I just want to point out that we assume that Shabbos is the seventh day of the week, which it is. But it's more than that. It's not just a period of time. It's an entity. It's like a living being. The Shabbos has a soul of its own. Well, not the Neshama Yisera of man. We're talking about Shabbos. And Shabbos is going to come and defend man. Which is really interesting, to look at Shabbos as a live being. Where is this Medrash? This Medrash is commenting on a pasuk in Tehillim. And this is the famous chapter in Tehillim that we recite on Shabbos. Mizmar Shir L'Yom HaShabbos.
92?
And the Medrash says the following. Be Erev Shabbos, Nivra Adam HaRishon. So the Medrash goes through the entire schedule of events, hour by hour, what took place on that Friday. Sharishona, Olam HaShava. The first hour of the sixth day, God thought to create man. Shnia, the second hour, Nivlach im Malachi Asharis. He consulted with the angels. Shlishis, Konas Afaro. Man would be created from the dust of the earth, from all four corners of the earth. So God in the third hour combines samplings of afar, of dirt from all over the earth. The fourth hour, gavlo. Gavlo miloshon gibul. Gibul means kneading with a K at the beginning. So God now kneads the afar with a liquid and makes some sort of a dough, if you will. Chamishis, in the fifth hour, God takes this dough and asa golam, and he makes the shape of man.
Like a gingerbread boy.
Okay, I don't know enough about the gingerbread boy, but if that's good for you, it's good for me. I can imagine he's a good boy. Sheshes, in the sixth hour, rikmo. Rikmo means he carved out the fine tune details of the features of man. Shvius, in the seventh hour, nafach bo neshama. God introduces the spirit of man.
Like an artist.
So God is an artist, and then he adds life to the art. The piece of art is the physical being of man, but now man becomes uplifted to a spiritual level. And that's in the seventh hour. In the eighth hour, Hamidah Raglov, man learns about himself, how to function, and how to appreciate his dual physical / spiritual components. Chias, in the ninth hour, God gives the mandate to man not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Asiris, in the tenth hour, Chata, man rebels against God. Achatasre, in the 11th hour, Nidon, man is judged. Shtemesre, Nisgaresh, in the 12th hour, he is expelled from Gan Eden.
Make an excellent movie.
Bar Kadosh Baruch Hu Litein Lo Ifufisin. Now,
what's Ifufisin?
If you give me a second, I promise you I will explain everything, but you have to give me time. The original punishment, as it was planned, and it was already communicated to man as a warning up front, before he ate from the Eitz Hadas, was that man would forfeit his life. There would be an immediate death penalty. However, in the 13th hour, God came to implement that judgment. The judgment was that man should die. That's called Ifufsin. Ifufsin means the onesh, the final punishment should be meted out. But what happened? What derailed that punishment and allowed man to live almost 1,000 years? The next hour, Nichnasa Shabbos. Shabbos came, and somehow Shabbos would defend man. We'll have to see as we go along how Shabbos achieved that goal and achieved divine compassion, in which the punishment of death would be postponed. Man would not die immediately, but rather later on. The Malachi Asharis up in heaven saw this entire process. They witnessed man becoming the great man that he potentially could have been as God created him, but how quickly man fell and rebelled. And the Malachim declared, Adam biyakar bal yolin, Nimshal kebehemos nidn. What does that mean? Man, on the one hand, was created yakar. Yakar means beautiful, fantastic, tremendous potential. But Bal Yolin, even before the day passes by, Nimshal Kebehemos, he is compared to the animals. Instead of using all his potential to uplift himself above the animal kingdom, instead, he looks just like the animals, maybe even worse. Nidmu, they should be compared. Now, why the plural? So the Medrash says, Shneim, Adam v'Chava, both he and she are included in this statement of the Malachim.
But
just one more minute. Bayom HaShabbos v'nasa lo sanegar. The situation looked very bleak. God had declared that according to justice, they forfeited their right to exist, the Malachim compared them to animals. What would stave the punishment? Shabbos would come as the Sanegar. Again, it's a very important word here, Sanegar. Sanegar is the defense attorney. What does Shabbos have to say in front of the Ribono Shalom? Again, as I told you before, in the Medrash, Shabbos is a living entity. Omar, the Shabbos says in front of God, Creator of the world, it took you 6 days to create the world. Ribono Lomim, B'sheshes Yimei Amaseh, Lo Nerash Odom Ba'olam, U'biyat HaMaschil, from Sunday to Friday, which are the mundane days of the week, you didn't punish man. When is punishment going to begin? On Shabbos? I'm going to be the day that's sanctified, the day of Kiddushah, the day of Menucha, and I'm going to be singled out as the day of punishment in which man is going to be put to death. In other words, Shabbos said, I have a claim, you're insulting me, you're undermining my sanctity,
you're using me
as the day of death.
But he created the Shabbos, it's his business, it's his possession.
That's what we want to study tonight. That what is it that the Shabbos has, that it's an entity that has its own personality, that's made up of two elements, Kedusha and Menucha, and once created, it's an independent being. God creates beings that have rights. God forfeits his, capital H, his control, his sovereign control over everything, and he creates beings or entities that now have independent rights. That's how God wanted to create the universe. So he created the Shabbos, and the Shabbos now has claims. Can I be used as the day of death? My essence, as you created me, God, is a day of sanctity. That's a positive feature. That's not destructive. And therefore, says the Medrash, Bishvil HaShabbos, because of the entity of Shabbos, Nitzol Midina Shel Gehenna, meaning he should have gone, man should have immediately gone to that other place, but he was saved by virtue of the Shabbos. Kevan Shara Adam Kocha Shel Shabbos, man witnessed this whole give and take, and he beheld and became aware of the power of the Shabbos. Ba'adam lomer himnon Shabbos. So the first poetry in the history of man was the Song of Shabbos.
The first what of man?
Poem. The first poetry of man.
Poetry.
That's called himnon in the Lashon of the Medrash. Even in modern Hebrew, when they talk about a poetic song, like Kolod Balevav, right? They call it a hymnon. This is the flagstaff of Shabbos. This is the first expression by man of gratitude, praising and singing about the great Shabbos. Because after all, man realizes, he acknowledges, the greatness of Shabbos, the power of Shabbos. If not for Shabbos, man would have perished. He would have been sent immediately for an eternal punishment in Gehenna. Amar lo haShabbos. So now Shabbos comes back to teach man a lesson. Liata Omer Himnon. You're singing my song? You're praising me? Aniva ta. The two of us should be singing a song, praising Almighty God. And that's the next pasuk, the next verse in this chapter, number 92, in which it says, Tov lahodos l'Hashem ulizamer l'shim chayil yon. It's a good idea that both of us, you and me because I was created and endowed with Kedusha, such that I had the power to stave off death, you, because you were created by God with such incredible potential, we can now swing back to our opening question. And that is, why did the poskim, the Ramah, we saw it in the Magen Avraham, and other poskim, the Tur, even before the Ramah, they call this Shabbos, Shabbos Bracious. We don't find that another Shabbos is called Shabbos Noach, Shabbos Lech Lecha in the poskim. But the poskim say the minhag is to call the Shabbos Bracious. Why? Because the whole story of Bracious, meaning the ultimate creation of man and his continued existence, depends upon what? Shabbos. Shabbos is the Shabbos of Bracious, because it was Shabbos who came forward with its defense argument that saved man, and man continued to exist. He should have died immediately and gone straight to Gehenna. And this idea that Shabbos saves man is expressed in another medrash, very similar, and the Arachayim HaKadosh, one of the great commentaries, not here, but in the Aseres HaDibros, he quotes this medrash. On the Pasuk Zohar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, V'kach mevakesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitanu, God asks us that we should always remember the Shabbos. We think that Zohar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho is only on Shabbos. No. Always, the whole week long, we should be remembering the Shabbos. And why, says the Medrash? Because we have to appreciate that it was the argument of Shabbos, in a certain sense, the complaint of Shabbos, that saved man.
But why wasn't there was someone there to tempt man to eat the tree? Why wasn't there someone there to give an opposite view?
I guess what the belief is, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when God in heaven gave man the mandate, he gave man all the arsenal, you know, all the spiritual energy that he needed, if he would only tap into it, to overcome any sort of allurement by the forces of evil. So man really had within him, with the great potential as he was created, the ability to overcome all these influences.
But they were like babes.
Huh? When you say babes, I'm not sure what you mean by babes. I mean, I remember there was a famous baseball player, Babe. Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth.
You can give a box of tools to someone, but if you don't really know what to do with them.
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, that's what you mean by a babe.
Inexperienced.
Okay, so you know what? Maybe we could come up with some other defense arguments, but the Medrash is of the opinion, okay, Shivim Panim LaTorah, the 70 ways of interpreting the Torah, but we're now standing on the shoulders of the Medrash. The Medrash says that in that hour of judgment, there was a clear-cut condemnation of man. You know, sometimes you have a complaint, you know, you register a complaint to the police against someone, but it doesn't mean that he's going to be condemned in the courts.
No.
Correct? So you can't assume that anyone is guilty until the final decision is handed down. So in this case, the final decision was actually handed down. man was destined to die. He was forewarned. He violated the will of God, and in the judgment, according to the Medrash, at least, there were no mitigating factors here. The only thing that saved man was the Shabbos, and therefore, Zochras Yom Shabbos Lekadosh. You should remember the Shabbos constantly, and you should always be aware of what you owe the Shabbos.
It's good there was Shabbos.
So that's why I wanted to read with you the language of the Medrash. You'll see this in the left column. In bold print, on page 1, he says, "Gam yirtzeh al derech Omram Zal ki yom shishi shebo nivra adam rishon v'chata v'yotzachai bedino." Man was created on that Friday, and he sinned. And when he went out of judgment, the final decision was that he should be chayev. He should die. Ba Shabbos. Yom HaShabbos, v'nasa sanegar li'odom l'fnei Hashem, v'yomar, ribon ha'olom, lo nerag odom e'olom, v'chi ani maskil asa misa, misa should begin with me? That's not fair. That undermines the sensitivity of my holiness. V'nisa l'odom, a man was saved. And man sees and he acknowledges, he beholds the power of Shabbos. He begins to sing Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, Lazeh Omer Zachar, that we should remember the Shabbos, because Shabbos becomes the medium to give life to man when man was meant to die. So it's almost like if you ask who created man, the answer is God. But who saved man from death? The answer is Shabbos. And therefore, Roy Lach Shivo, you should have a certain respect for Shabbos, which means, let's say, for example, you are able to acquire something very tasty, something very beautiful that would enhance the Shabbos, put it away for Shabbos. Why? Because recognize the greatness of Shabbos and what it did for you. Just like if a person experiences a miracle, he should constantly mark that day and celebrate, commemorate that day as the day of his salvation, and that day becomes Choshev B'Ein of Tomid. But here, in the case of Shabbos, it's more than that. Shabbos itself is the Matzil. You know, it's not the day that on which the miracle occurred, but here Shabbos as a living being was the entity that put forward the argument that Hashem accepted and save man. And therefore, when we have a mitzvah of Zochres Yom HaShabbos Lekadosho, we have to understand that we should remember the Shabbos, appreciate the Shabbos, and feel in our very hearts a gratitude towards Shabbos. Recognize that if we live today, it's because of the Shabbos. We therefore have every mitzvah of expressing gratitude towards Shabbos. We have to beautify the Shabbos. We have to sanctify the Shabbos. We have to set aside anything good for Shabbos. And this is all part of our hymnon, our song of praise for the Shabbos, recognizing as it were, that it was the Shabbos that saved man. And in that sense, Shabbos becomes the source of all blessing. Because life itself is the greatest blessing, and life was granted by Shabbos. Shabbos is what kept us alive. And therefore it makes sense that the codification of the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur, the Ramah, etc., the Lavush, they all say that this Shabbos has to be called Shabbos Bracious. The Shabbos immediately after we read about the creation of the world, which took place on Friday, because it's the Shabbos that saved man. And we have to understand and appreciate the koach, the power, the koach hanifla, he calls it, the amazing, amazing power that's inherent in the Shabbos. And therefore, we have to observe the Shabbos. First of all, sur meira, you know, not to do any malach on Shabbos. We're not supposed to speak divrei chol on Shabbos. And Be'aseh Tov, we have to do positive things. to sanctify the Shabbos, have to study Torah on Shabbos, serve Hashem through tefillah. We should be uplifted on Shabbos. And then there's Oneg Shabbos, all the various mitzvahs, the whole constellation. It's all part of our recognition of the fact that Shabbos saved us, gave us the greatest blessing, and that's life itself. But perhaps we can take this idea even one step further. The Archaim tells us here in Parshas Bereishis, in the section about Shabbos, an amazing breakthrough concept. And this you'll see on page 2. Bechol Shabbos Kodesh, every single Shabbos, when we observe the Shabbos as the Torah commands us to do, Kedasu Kedin, we recreate the entire world. On a Mechadshim, we create Kiyum Ha'olam. That's an amazing statement. Again, it's very terse and short.
Create but what?
I'm going to read it again. Every Shabbos, when we observe the Shabbos the way it is, Anu Mechadshim Es Kiyum Ha'olam.
Which means
that the world as is will go through a week, and at the end of the week it's meant to terminate. That's the end of the world. God created the world for 1 week's time. Why does the world continue for another week? That's not automatic. There's got to be an agent. There's got to be some sort of an action or something that propels another week of creation, another week of existence. And what's that? The Shabbos itself. When we observe the Shabbos, we give the entire universe the life force, the Ilan Vital, the power of life, to exist for another month, another week. And every Shabbos, that's what happens. In other words, God only created the world for 6 days, and it's meant to terminate on Shabbos. Comes along the Shabbos, and if we observe the Shabbos, then the world is going to continue to exist. And let's read the pasuk in this week's parasha. It says, oh, I'm sorry, this is in the second parasha, which is in Yisro. It says, Ki sheshes yomim os Hashem es hashmayim ves haaretz. It should have said, b'sheshes yomim. Meaning it took God 6 days to create the world. No. It says God created 6 days. That's it. Says the Archaim, what that means is, the pasuk is teaching us that God created the world only for 6 days. The life force of the world that takes from Tohu, from Ayin into Yesh, into existence, is only a 6-day guarantee. You know, it's like you buy something and they tell you how long will it last. So some things last for a day. This lasts for 6 days. It's got a 6-day lifespan. But on Shabbos, when we fulfill what's called Shmirat HaShabbat, we are able to give the Shabbos a power to create the world for another 6 days, to keep the world going. So it's like a process of creation that repeats itself every single week. Okay, we'll shut off the phone for a minute if we can. We don't know where how to do that.
I didn't hear the what?
No, I'm saying, are we able to shut off the phone?
My phone is ringing.
I don't know if it's your phone, but it's not mine.
Sorry.
That's okay. So the Archaim HaKadosh says that from the moment of creation, there was never one single Shabbos that went by without at least one tzaddik who observed the Shabbos. Because if a Shabbos would go by without one single person on the face of the globe observing the Shabbos, then there would be no power to recreate, to continue, to project the existence of the world for the next week. It would just cease to exist.
So that means since the beginning of time, Shabbat has always been observed by at least one
person. So who is the first person to observe Shabbos? Obviously, it was Adam HaRishon. And according to the Archaim HaKadosh, that's also included here in Parshas Bereishis, the Shabbos that Adam HaRishon was the Shomer Shabbos. Now, after Adam HaRishon, he left a son by the name of Shais. Have you heard of Shais? In English, they call him Seth, I think.
Yeah.
He was a tzaddik gomer, a total saint. And after him, there was another tzaddik until left Mesushelach, and then there was Noach, then there was Shem, there was Avram, and it kept going and going. So there was never a moment in the history of man where Shabbos went by without anyone observing the Shabbos. And therefore, all the brachos that come from on high really depend upon the Shabbos. So that the Shabbos is able to use its power to continue to retain the world, retain its existence. An amazing chiddush of the Archaim. Now, we have another insight into the relationship between Shabbos and Adam HaRishon. And this comes from a different medrash, and it is formulated in different words and different formulations in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer and the medrash Talpios. And according to this medrash, the Shabbos itself changes the day of Adam HaRishon. What does that mean? So let's try to understand. It says in the pasuk, "Me'etz hadas tov v'ra lo tochal mimenu ki v'yom achalcha mimenu mos tamus." If you partake of the Eitz Hadas, you will die on that very day. Now, Chazal, our rabbis, have a rule that if God makes such a declaration, and he decrees that on the day that you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you will die, that has to happen. So how is it that man lives 1,000 years? Almost 1,000 years.
Well, for Hashem, 1,000 years is one day.
Excellent. Beautiful. So he says the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Berov Rachmav, with God's divine compassion, Hafach Mashmos Hagzera, he changed the meaning, the literal meaning of Biyom Acholcha Mimenu, on the day that you eat from it, that word Yom is not the Yom of man, but rather the Yom of God. And this is based on a pasuk in Tehillim, in the 90th chapter. It says, Ki Elef Shanim Beinecha Ki Yom Esmol, that 1,000 years in your eyes is the same as one day in our eyes. So the Medrash says the following. Vayishma'u es kol Hashem Elokim. After they ate from the Eitz Hadas, the pasuk says they heard the sound of God's voice in the ruach, carried by the wind of the Gan Eden. Omlo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says to them in the following way. What was the content of this Kol Hashem that they heard? L'ruach hayom, l'revach hayom. That the word ruach hayom doesn't mean only the wind of the day that carried the voice of God, but it also means revach hayom. Revach hayom means the expansion of the day. L'arviach means to expand. And God says, I'm going to take the day and I'm going to expand it. Which day? The day that I mentioned to you, Biyom Achalcha Mimenu Mos Tumas. It's not clear what that means, Biyom. On the day that you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you will die. Does it mean Yom Shali or Yom Shalachem? Is it my day or is it your day? Ela, Hare Ani Nosei Lo Yom Echad Mishali. I am going to give you a day of my calendar, of my day. And that's called the Revach Hayom. I'm going to expand the definition of the day. From your human perspective on a 24-hour day, it's going to be a divine perspective of 1,000 years. Now, in truth, Adam HaRishon only lived 930 years, but there's a whole discussion about what happened to those last 70 years. Correct. So I don't want to get off on a tangent.
But biblical critics say that the day is not the week, it's 24 hours. So now there's a medrash that's saying it is 1,000 years.
A day is 1,000 years. That's what he's saying.
But I thought that's heretical, that's apikorosis.
I don't know why you thought such a thing. Whoever told you that, I would like to meet him on my turf, and we'll talk to him. The Major says explicitly that when it says b'yom achalcha mimenu mos tumas, that yom is referring to 1,000 years, and that was the divine compassion that he said, instead of yom being taken in a human context as a 24-hour day, I'm going to reinterpret the word yom, that was the divine compassion, as if it was my day. And a day in a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes is 1,000 years. That's a pasuk in Tehillim in the 90th chapter. So God says, I'm going to give you 1,000 years, and then you're going to die. So if this be the case, then without Shabbos, Adam HaRishon would have died on that day itself, right? Because again, it was only Shabbos that saved man from immediate death. So basically, what did Shabbos give man? It gave man 1,000 years, right? Because Adam HaRishon lived 1,000 years. Again, when we say 1,000, we'll iron out the some of the glitches some other time, but man was granted 1,000 years. So in other words, in the initial divine justice, or shall I say decree, when man was taken in front of the courts, he was condemned to immediate death. He would go straight to Gehenna. But instead, God reinterprets the word yom to expand it to mean 1,000 years. And that was the divine compassion. What brought about that divine compassion? We saw at the outset, based on the Medrash, that it was the Shabbos. So now, you might have said, well, maybe man did tshuva, but on that very day in which he sinned, he was judged and condemned to immediate death. Shabbos came forward and spared man. There was no time for man to do tshuva. So basically, man deserves nothing except for immediate death. He owes everything to the Shabbos. And it's a whole new way of looking at Shabbos, that in the schus of Shabbos, man is going to continue to live, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reinterpret the word b'yom, in the pasuk b'yom acholcha b'meni mos tumas, as referring not to the day of Adam HaRishon, but rather to the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is 1,000 years. So therefore, what happens now is that Adam HaRishon is really given of 1,000 years to live. And what's his responsibility during the 1,000 years? That's an extended period of time. He was given the opportunity to do tshuva. And there's an amazing statement of the Gemara in Erevin, which you'll see here in the last paragraph on page 2, that Adam HaRishon was a great chassid, and when he realized that he deserved to die, he sat and he fasted for 130 years. Again, what's exactly the significance of the number 130? I'm not sure if we'll get to that tonight. Maybe we will. But be that as it may, it comes out that the Shabbos saves man. Man really deserved to die immediately. Had no time to do tshuva, but Shabbos saved him. He was granted now a whole new definition of the word Yom Achol Chamos Men. He now has 1,000 years. So instead of dying on that very Shabbos, after he was condemned to death, he will live through that Shabbos. But not only live through that Shabbos, he will live for a full 1,000 years. And his responsibility during that 1,000 years is to do what?
Tshuva.
To be metaking that chet. To undermine and the gate, that rebellion, that act of rebellion. And if this be the case, when the Medrash says Nichnas HaShabbos Pino Misham, which means that there was a punishment to man on Shabbos, because man was taken out of what? He was expelled from where? From Gan Eden. So although the claim or the defense argument that was put forth by the Shabbos was successful in staving off the punishment of man of immediate death, but nevertheless man was punished. It's not like Shabbos completely wiped off the punishment, because the Medrash says that on that Shabbos he was expelled from Gan Eden.
Yeah, because if he'd eaten of the tree of life, he had lived forever in that condition.
Right, that is true. But again, in the language of the Medrash, we're trying to learn up this Medrash. The Medrash says, Nichnas HaShabbos V'pino Misham. In other words, he was expelled from Gan Eden. It sounds like that was his punishment. You know, he didn't get the punishment of dying immediately, but he was expelled from Gan Eden. And you know what? If man sinned, now again, what day of the week did man sin on?
Friday.
Mm-hmm. So why was the Shabbos saying that how could the first death in history take place on Shabbos? Well, if there was a condemnation by the divine court that man would immediately die, he would have died on what day? On Friday, not on Shabbos.
But then in Shabbat, we don't have had any guests.
So how could Shabbos claim, well, man shouldn't die on Shabbos, when
what would have died on Shabbos?
Well, I'm talking about the first death. Again, what was... I don't know if you were here, Roz, when we went through the Medrash.
Moshe Rabbeinu's
also. The Medrash... You missed the Medrash. I apologize, but I should have waited for you, maybe. But
no, it's all right.
I just wanted to start on time so we could try to end on time. So the Medrash says that its claim was that the first death in history did not take place on any of the 6 days of creation. There was no such punishment of death until Shabbos. So why is it that the beginning, that was the claim of Shabbos, the Haschalas Onshe Misa should be on Shabbos, should coincide with Shabbos? I'm insulted, says the Shabbos. You have, in a sense, irritated my essence of Kedusha Menucha. Now, the truth is, we're a little bit perplexed by this argument, because man was meant to die on Friday.
What would have happened if he hadn't died? Would he have made more?
What did he say? If he had died on that Friday, would God have recreated man a second time around? Excellent question. I don't know.
Wow.
There is a Medrash that seems to indicate that maybe God would have tried another experiment. I don't know. But we're now on page 3. What I want to show you on page 3 is a Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer. And it's true that man was exiled from Gan Eden on the 12th hour of Friday. However, we have halacha called Tosefes Shabbos, which means that even before it gets dark on Friday, you can accept a Kedusha Shabbos upon yourself. Now, the 12th hour, which we saw the Medrash identifies as the hour of punishment, meaning after man was condemned in the court up on high, that hour lends itself, says the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer, to what's called Tosefes Shabbos. You know what Tosefes Shabbos is, that you can accept upon yourself Shabbos even before Shabbos.
I don't know what Tosefet meant.
Tosefet means expanding, so you can expand the Shabbos and start earlier. Lachem nechsheves osa shah shal sof yom shishi. That last hour at the end of the sixth day is considered the hour of Shabbos, and that's the moment that man was expelled from Gan Eden, and therefore Shabbos had a right to say that. Why is it that I am the day that's designated for the first, the very first Nisa, the very first Haschola of the punishment of Nisa. So again, even though it was Erev Shabbos technically, when man was expelled from Gan Eden and when he should have died, nevertheless, since that hour was so late in the day of Friday, that there would have been a Tosefes Shabbos at that point. In other words, there already is, so to speak, inherently a sanctity of Shabbos in potential, even before nightfall. So therefore, Shabbos comes forward and says, I don't want to be the first day that's designated for the very first punishment of death. And now that man is given life, he has the opportunity to do tshuva, and that's what Adam HaRishon hopefully is going to do. And Chazal seemed to indicate that he did a very sincere tshuva. Now, if this be the case, then perhaps we could say that there's some sort of a let me put it this way, in the relationship between Shabbos and Gehenna, there's some sort of mutual excluding relationship. You follow what I mean? It's like an anti-force, and they're antithetical. The Gemara says that God warns the people of Israel at the end of Sefer Shmos, Lo saviru esh b'chomosh v'seichem yom ha-Shabbos. We're not allowed to light fires on Shabbos. Why? Because up in Shamayim, esh is lit to punish the sinners. That's called the Esh of Gehenna. But there's one day of the week where Hashem observes the Shabbos and He doesn't light the fires of Gehenna. So the Gehenna takes a Shabbos break. So that Shabbos is not compatible with Gehenna, because Gehenna means Esh and Shabbos is Lo Saviru Esh. There's no lighting of fires on Shabbos. I don't know if you were with me once, we had a long discussion about what exactly does the Esh of Gehenna achieve in terms of purifying man. That was an hour discussion unto itself. But be that as it may, that process of being madlik as Esh al Gehenna is suspended on Shabbos. And on the very first Shabbos, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu spared man and saved him from the condemnation of Gehenna, on that Shabbos, the metaphysical reality or essence of this antithetical relationship between Shabbos and Gehenna was already established. So from the very first Shabbos, at the end of creation, it was already established in the very nature of the universe, in a metaphysical sense, that Shabbos would never coincide with Gehenna. You can't have Gehenna on Shabbos. Gehenna stops, its gears come to a halt on Shabbos. And that was established on the very first Shabbos, when Shabbos says, I'm not going to be the day in which man is going to be burnt by the Esh of Gehenna. I don't want that to happen. That would irritate my very essence, my very being. Now again, the original decree of God was Ki b'yom ha'chalcha mimenu mos tumas, mos tamus, which means that man was meant to die on that very first day when he rebelled against God and violated the sin. However, God spared man and gave him a yom, which is a divine day of how much? 1,000 years. You have that? So that's more or less a summary of what we saw. Mm-hmm. Now in Iraq, about 100 years ago, there was a great giant of Torah called the Ben Ish Chai. I mean, he has many different names. He wrote many different books. But he had a tremendous insight into the Torah, and he also had a transmission that he received from the Mekubalim. Those were the Kabbalists. And he claims, the Ben Ish Chai, that a person could learn Torah the whole week long, and that's great. But if he learns Torah on Shabbos, that Torah that he learns on Shabbos is worth 1,000 times the Torah that he learns during the weekday. Thus, the ratio between the value and the spirituality of Shabbos during the week, and Shabbos is 1 to 1,000. Lachaini writes, "B'Shabbos who may ain olam haba." Shabbos, you get a taste of the world of infinity. Tzarech laharbos bo b'yesek haTorah. You have to use that time period for the study of Torah. The Oz yatzlichu bo yosem b'binyan aruchni, that has a special power to succeed in building him up in a spiritual sense, and it's as great as 1,000 times the Esek HaTorah of Yemei Achol. So the commentaries on the Ben Ish Chai ask the following question on this Kabbalah from the Mekubalah. Why is it that we don't find any source for such a thing? How could the Kabbalah come along and make this statement without any source? You can't just come along and say, you know what? Shabbos is worth 1,000 times the Torah of Shabbos. So Rav Friedman here, the author of the Shvilei Pinchas, quotes the Arizal. And the Arizal says, based on his Kabbalah, that every Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu receives 1,000 portions of the aura of the spiritual supernal light, more than he receives during the weekday. I think we discussed this in the past. I don't remember all the innuendos, but what's clear from the Arizal is that there's some sort of ratio of 1,000 to 1 between Shabbos and Chol. And perhaps that light that Moshe Rabbeinu is granted, he's endowed with on Shabbos, which is worth 1,000 times the spiritual light of the week, that's indicated by the Pasuk Vayikra El Moshe. Then on Shabbos, Moshe receives 1,000 chalakim of aura. Now, at what point in history did Moshe Rabbeinu lose this aura, this spiritual light? That the Chet HaEgel. So after the Chet HaEgel, he lost it. But every Shabbos, he regains it. Just for Shabbos. And that's a ratio of 1,000 to 1.
He wasn't around for Chet HaEgel. I thought he said, what's the issue? He committed eating it in stone.
Correct, but Hashem says Lech Reid mi Gedulascha, right? That all your Gedula is dependent upon Klal Yisrael. And if Klal Yisrael goes down, it has an automatic impact on Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu loses 1,000 lights. Again, these are spiritual concepts of Kabbalah. But he gains them and regains them on a weekly basis every Shabbos. Just for Shabbos. So that's the LF of Shabbos. And now we can understand a statement in the Gemara, of course, in Shabbos. David HaMelech declares, Ki tov yom b'chatzercha me'elef. What does that mean? One of your days is better than 1,000. What does that mean? Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Mai dechsiv, what does it mean? Hodieni Hashem Kitzi Umidas Yomai Mai Eda my Chadal Oni Omar Dovel Thankosh Rabbanu Shalom Hodieni Hashem Kitzi. David HaMelech wants to see what's going to happen at the end of his life. Omalo, God responds, Gzerehi Milafonai, I have a rule, I don't reveal to anyone, human being, flesh and blood, what's going to happen in death or after death. Midas yomai mayhi, how long a person is going to live. A person never knows exactly how long he's going to live. However, since you asked, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to reveal to you one secret, and that is that you're going to die on Shabbos.
That's Moshe.
And that's Dovid HaMelech. So Dovid HaMelech says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'd rather die on Yom Rishon. In other words, it was decreed that Shlomo HaMelech, your son, would take over your Malchus. Almost the Erev Shabbos. So David HaMelech says, you know what? I'm willing to die on Friday and give Shlomo HaMelech an extra day. Amalei, Sakash Baruch says to him, Ki tov yom b'chatzirecha mi'elef. Which means, tov li yom echad shata yoshev yosek b'torah. In my eyes, one day of your study of Torah is worth more than elef olos sha'asid Shlomo b'incha la'akriv l'fonei al gabi mizbech, than 1,000 karbonos that your son is going to bring on the Mizbech, on the altar. In other words, once again, we see the emphasis on the number Aleph, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to David HaMelech how important it is for him to get that extra Shabbos in, because on that Shabbos, David HaMelech dedicated himself exclusively to the study of Torah. And the Gemara goes on to a whole discussion about how the Malach HaMavis was able to take his life when he was studying Torah. But be that as it may, that extra day of Torah study for David HaMelech was worth 1,000.